the cavern. They were bristling and snarling, held at bay only by the master vampire's command.
"Susan, don't make me hurt you,"
Milo said as he stepped in front of the others.
"I know the real you has to be in there somewhere. You can still repent of your evil ways. It's never too late. Don't make it come to this."
"Milo, get out of the way,"
Julie ordered as she pushed around me, looking for a good angle.
"You want to test your faith against me? What do you think, this is a Dracula movie or something?"
Susan's dark silhouette laughed as she batted her glowing eyes.
"I'm way out of your league, honey."
Milo Anderson closed his eyes and bowed his head, the lower half of his face disappearing into his bushy beard. He appeared to be praying. He did not move as Susan slowly walked toward him. Not even a tremble of fear. Nothing.
"Open the gate! Hurry!" Julie pleaded. "Milo, run!"
"Dude, get down!"
Sam shouted.
"Move, you idiot!"
The faithful hunter raised his head, smiled at us, and winked.
"Don't worry, guys. It's going to be okay. You'd better get that portal open, because it's going to get real exciting up in here."
He raised one arm as if to wave goodbye. Susan charged forward, her black shape disappearing in a blur as she surged toward Milo. He said something quickly as the vampire reached for him. There was an explosion of bright light, blinding all of us, searing right through our eyes and into our brains. I saw Milo's skeleton through the flash. Good versus evil. Light versus dark. The cavern shook, and dust and rock fell from the roof. Cracks appeared in the columns. The earth shook as I was thrown backward into Julie. Susan screamed. A great and terrible wail of pure hatred and evil. Lightning crackled across the chamber, tearing up chunks of rock. I swear that I heard Milo's voice say,
"Ooh, pretty colors."
The whites, released from their psychic bonds, charged. The ones that ran too close to the clashing powers exploded in showers of sparks and flying meat. The others were going to be on us in seconds. Julie, Sam, and Holly started to shoot. Our backs were against the wall. We had nowhere to go. I kept scrambling, looking for the exit. A white leapt over a rock formation and landed directly in front of us. Sam shot it between the eyes and then kicked it backwards, impaling the creature on a sharp rock. He holstered his now empty pistol, unable to load fast enough with one hand, and drew his massive knife. With a roar, he tore into the undead, slashing and hacking, cursing and swearing. He was an amazing fighter, somehow dodging the claws and fangs while stabbing and cutting furiously at the horde. There seemed to be hundreds of undead, black teeth extended, claws raised. They kept coming. The black cyclone that was Susan Shackelford crashed back under the curtain of light. Milo's faith had been far more powerful than she had expected. More whites burst into flames. Julie screamed in pain as a white reached her, slashing across her side with its paralyzing claws. She fell limply to her knees as her limbs went dead. I reached out and grabbed her by the drag strap on her armor and pulled her away from the creature. Shielding her with my body, I lashed out and kicked the beast in the chest, crushing its ribs and sending it flailing back. We had to get out of here fast. Damn stupid door. I wish it were here. A thin crack of red light moved down the rock in front of me. The portal gradually widened. All I had done was desire it to be there, and it had worked. That wasn't so bad, I thought to myself. The cold tentacles of the cursed one exploded through the rift, encircled Julie and me, and jerked us violently through the gate.
Chapter 27 The writhing tentacles were wet and oily. They pinned my arms to my side. I struggled against them, but it was like being ensnared by a giant boa constrictor. I was momentarily blind inside the portal itself. There was no light in the tunnel to some other dimension. The air was thick and damp, and between that and the pressure on my lungs, I could barely breathe. We were dragged through the other side, and it slammed shut behind us, leaving only blank, white sky. Julie's paralyzed form was roughly thrown onto the snow-covered ground. She rolled a few feet before stopping, seemingly unconscious, at the base of a tree. I was spun around violently, only to come face to face with the cursed one. I had seen him in my dreams. I had seen him in my visions. I had seen the world through the eye of his memory. I had felt his pain, fear, anger, lust, and pride. I knew him better than he knew himself. But none of that prepared me for actually meeting him in person. I was frozen in terror. Rivulets of sweat turned into ice crystals. Every fiber of my being ached. My joints hurt to move. My eyes grated in their sockets. My teeth chattered compulsively as my body began to have involuntary convulsions. Here was pure evil. Hate beyond all human comprehension. I dangled above the ground, held by a thick tentacle that extended from under his robe where an arm should have been. I struggled helplessly in his grasp. The ancient helmet slowly lifted, and the crimson eyes bored into me.
You.
The word pounded inside my skull like a sledgehammer. His face was like a skull coated with cords of moving muscles that seemed to be made out of dirty, congealed oil. He had no mouth.
I should have known it would be you.
He swung me through the air. The tentacle relaxed, releasing me, sending me flying. I had time to scream before impact. I rolled painfully through the thick underbrush, scattering snow, crackling roots, and breaking branches. We were on some sort of a hilltop, and I slid and crashed violently as momentum and gravity took me down. I finally slid to a stop, lying in a pile of wet slush. I was in terrible pain. I rolled over onto my back, staring up at the trees of the winter wonderland.
Jaeger, take him. We are in need of a new sacrifice.
Yes, my lord Machado.
The final master approached. He still wore the leather trench coat as if it were a uniform. I flashed back to the image of him in his Nazi regalia, cleaving open Mordecai Barica's chest to pull out his beating heart. I wasn't going down like that. There was a branch dangling overhead. I grabbed it and used it to pull myself to my feet, showering cold snow down on me. All of my weapons were still strapped into place. It was time to drop the hammer. The Fed prototype NSCAR 308 was the most convenient. I flicked the safety off and brought it to my shoulder.
Freeze, asshat.
That's a nice coat. I'd hate to put some holes in it. Jaeger stopped and ran his long fingers down the seam of his coat.
Yes, it is made out of children. Very supple leather, and such a lovely fragrance.
He smiled slightly, revealing his fangs. His hatchet face began to blur and shift into his true form.
I need a live sacrifice. Do not kill him.
Jaeger's transformation stopped, and he once again appeared human.
Pity.
He moved toward me. I put the sight at his groin and pulled the trigger. I leaned into the weapon, controlling the recoil, driving the gun, stitching the vampire in one continuous 20-round burst. The Fed's composite silver ammunition penetrated a few inches of flesh before exploding in a violent cloud of powdered metal. The bolt locked back empty. Jaeger stumbled in the snow. His flesh was ripped asunder, his clothing hung in tatters, and black fluid spilled onto the white ground. Almost instantly, he was whole again and striding my way. His hatchet face was a mask of fury. I dropped the smoking, hot FN and lifted Abomination. Jaeger appeared before me, having covered the distance in an impossible amount of time. The Saiga barked as I fired the special shell into his open mouth. The wooden projectile shattered and splintered in his throat, every bit of it instantly transforming into burning energy as it touched undead flesh. Blue fire burst from his face, coming out of his eyes, his ears, his nostrils, and his mouth. I worked the bolt and shot him again, piercing his abdomen. I grasped the charging handle, pulled it back, ejecting the smoking plastic hull into the snow. The last of Mordecai's shells entered the chamber, and I immediately launched it into Jaeger's chest. His screams echoed through the trees as his entire body turned into a blue torch. I released the silver bayonet, lifted the shotgun like an awkward spear, and slammed it through his throat, twisting and sawing against his iron-like spine. I had to take his head off. It was my only hope. He punched me in the chest. Distracted from the fire burning inside his brain, it was a weak hit for a master, but still threw me back into a pine tree. I lay with my back against the cold bark, gasping for breath. The snowy branches settled around me, giving me the illusion of a quiet shelter. I reloaded Abomination just as Jaeger's burning skull face appeared through the branches. His eyeballs had melted and were dripping down his cheeks. I flipped the selector to full auto and let him have it. Abomination emptied itself in a split second, pumping his chest full of silver. Undeterred, Jaeger grabbed me by my shoulders and pulled me from my shelter. I drove Abomination forward, slamming the silver blade between his ribs and through his heart. Jaeger screamed as fluids erupted like a split hydrant. He lifted one fist overhead, ready to crush my brain. I could see my death looming in his burning sockets.
"Alive, Jaeger. I will not warn you again."
The vampire threw me away. The snow broke my fall as I tumbled further down the hill. I slid on my back, almost like I was sledding, until I toppled over the edge of a small crevasse and landed in a pile of fluffy white. I was up in an instant, lifting my feet and trying to move through the heavy substance. Jaeger was above me, still disoriented, but coming around as the painful fire died. I lifted Abomination and aimed at him. At some point in the struggle, my holographic sight had been broken. I estimated instead and fired the 40-millimeter grenade. It impacted in the snow behind his feet. The concussion tore through him, sending him sprawling forward. I started to reload the grenade launcher when Abomination violently jerked from my hands. The cursed one stood at the top of the hill looking down. Just my luck. Lord Machado was telekinetic. He moved imperceptibly and my weapon was yanked away, the sling tearing into my neck, slicing into my skin, before ripping away and disappearing into the trees. Jaeger was up and moving. I drew the STI, falling instinctively into my regular isosceles stance, and opened fire. Jaeger leapt toward me, soaking up round after round. He knocked the gun into the snow, but I immediately drew the backup 45 and shot him some more. I was struck in the head. My helmet was torn off and sent flipping into the trees. He hit me again, lightly, just trying to capture me. I felt the muscles inside my chest tear, and I gasped in agony. I fell back into the snow, still firing. He swatted the pistol away, and my left wrist snapped. I screamed in pain like an electric current moved down my arm. I kicked him in the knee. I might as well have kicked a brick wall. He caught my foot and twisted it casually to the side. I almost passed out as my ankle broke.
"I've obtained the sacrifice, my lord,"
the vampire proclaimed loudly. Lying flat on my back, I brought my knee back to my chest, lifted my pant leg, and pulled the .357 from my ankle holster. Jaeger looked down at the little muzzle in wonderment.
"How many guns do you have?"
he asked in exasperation.
"Lots. Crack."
I stroked the trigger 5 times fast. He ignored the impacts. The wound channels were knitting closed before the bullets had even left his skull. He grabbed the little Smith and wrenched it from my hand. I cried out in pain as my trigger finger broke. He clapped his hands together and smashed the snubby into pieces. I tried to move. The vampire kicked me. For him, it was a light blow. For me, agony. He pummeled me, smashing me in the stomach, in the ribs, in the arms and legs, and finally in the face. His limbs moved in a blur. He pounded me down into the snow. I felt other bones break. Tendons tore, muscles ripped, blood vessels ruptured. I tried to defend myself, but he was too quick. He could hear my heart and my internal workings. The hammer blows continued to rain down. He knew exactly how much punishment he could dish out before I would die. He took me to that edge and left me there. The beating finally stopped. Jaeger pulled back and smiled, satisfied that his work was done. His sacrifice was secure. I coughed up a gout of blood, rolled my head to the side, and watched the red spreading on white. I passed out.
"Owen. Owen. Can you hear me? Please don't die."
Agony. The worst pain ever. Julie was whispering. At least it sounded like Julie, but it was hard to tell over the ringing in my ear. The other ear did not seem to be working. I don't know if that was because it was clogged with a blood clot or if the eardrum had ruptured. I lay on my side, facing away from her. I tried to move, but my body was too tired and broken to respond. I forced myself anyway. It hurt so bad that I almost passed back out.
"Oh, no. Owen."
Julie sounded horrified. I had to look like shit.
"Can you hear me?"
I grunted, blowing red, frothy bubbles from my lips.
Fine.
I lied. The words hurt over my broken teeth and swollen tongue. I could not see her. My eyelids were matted closed with blood, and I could not force them open. I tried to reach a hand up to rub them, but my arms did not want to respond. All I could feel was horrible, nerve-wracking fire coming from my limbs.
"I'm so sorry,"
she said.
"Can't move,"
I replied. I wished that I could see her.
"No, hold still. You're hurt bad."
I figured that had to be pretty obvious.
"I'll try to help you, but I'm tied up."
I heard the clanking of iron as she tugged on her bonds.
"How long?"
I gasped.
"Hours. You've been out for hours. I don't know how long. My watch doesn't seem to work here. The moon has got to be nearing its zenith."
We were running out of time, and I was not in any shape to do anything about it. Others?
I don't know. Nobody else has come here.
Where?
We're still in the pocket dimension.
Bad guys? I mumbled, and then coughed up blood. That was better. Breathing seemed a little easier.
Oh, Owen. I wish I could help you. Bad guys, they're over there on the pyramid. They've been ignoring us.
She sounded distraught. I concentrated on her beautiful voice. I needed something pleasant to keep my mind on.
I'm chained to some ruins. Looks like there used to be some sort of ancient temple in this pocket. It looks almost Assyrian.
Did they hurt you?
A little. Nothing like you.
How bad? She hesitated before finally deciding to give me the truth.
You look awful. I think he broke just about everything on you. There's so much blood. They didn't even bother to chain you. And your face...
I could tell that she was crying.
I'm so sorry.
Not me. I breathed in, trying to will myself to keep speaking. I was worried about you.
Oh, Owen.
She sobbed.
I'm fine. By the time the paralysis wore off, he had me wrapped up good. Really, I'm okay.
Keep talking. I'll rest. I was so very tired and confused.
Okay. The cursed one and that Nazi are a couple hundred yards away. They're preparing some sort of altar. They're at the top of a small pyramid. Hard to tell what it looks like since it has so much snow on it. They have that little box. I don't know how this dimension thing works, but the sky above is our sky. I can see our stars, and that's our regular old moon rising. So I think that we're still in Alabama, in the cave, only in some place that's not really in our world. Maybe just kind of outside of it, but still connected. It must have taken some serious magic to build this thing. I wonder who did it. It's got to be at least 2,000 years old.
Her historical curiosity started to come out.
Sorry, I'm rambling.
No. Your voice is pretty.
Will you quit trying to be so nice? You're about to get sacrificed. We've got to think of a way out of here. We need to disrupt the ceremony or escape or something. If we can open the gate from this side, maybe the other hunters are waiting to charge in. We have to think.
Julie was desperate. She did not give up easily. Hurts to think, I answered. My body was racked with so much pain that all I wanted to do was lay still and die. Sleep now.
Owen, stay with me. Just hang in there. I'll think of something.
She kept talking, but I was fading fast. My body had simply taken too much punishment to stay awake for long. My thoughts began to drift. This was it. My befuddled brain could not see any way out of this. The journey was almost over. The cursed one was going to win. Julie tried her best to keep me engaged, to keep me focused, but I continued to drift. If only I could open my eyes to look at her one last time. I had never been the kind of man to fall for someone, but I had fallen hard for her. I loved her. I'm not by nature a romantic, nor am I very eloquent when it comes to things like feelings or emotion. A few months ago, if someone had told me there was such a thing as true love at first sight, I would have laughed at them and probably taken their lunch money. But if I ever knew anything, it was that Julie Shackelford was my soulmate. If only I could do something to save her. Why was Julie chained here anyway? Why did they keep her alive? They had their sacrifice. But I knew the answer, and to deny it was a lie to myself. I remembered the Cursed One's promise when he had invaded Mordecai's dream world. I remembered his offer in the ashen rose of the blasted church. He was going to hurt her as punishment against me. And after he destroyed her, he was going to give her to her mother to be turned and enslaved. She was doomed. My Julie was doomed to a fate literally worse than death. But it wasn't just her. If the Cursed One completed his ceremony tonight, then everyone was doomed. Every person that I had ever loved, every person that I had ever met, every person in the world. That might not be what Lord Machado's goals were, but I had seen the ugly truth. The real evil was out there, just waiting for the beachhead to be established. In the world of the old ones, there would be no room for puny, sentient mammals, other than entertainment, or, if they were lucky, food. They were out there waiting. And once and for all, it was going to be finished tonight. Julie, I interrupted her desperate scheming. I promise that I'll stop them.
He must have hit you harder than I thought. Is your brain swelling?
Don't worry. It'll be okay.
It is time.
He's coming, I said. Whatever happens, I love you, Julie.
I know,
she replied.
Oh, and it's the vampire. Get away from him, you son of a bitch! Leave him alone!
I could sense the presence of the master vampire. The already winter temperature dropped a few degrees. I hated that precise German accent.
Such flame. Lord Machado will enjoy breaking you. Now silence, Fräulein Shackelford. You will get your turn.
I felt cold hands encircle my neck and pull me painfully to my feet. If I had been able to, I would have screamed.
Herr Pitt, your time has come. It is a great honor to serve in such a fashion.
I tried to spit in his face. I failed miserably. It was more of a sputtering noise through my swollen lips, and the bloody saliva dripped uselessly down my broken face. He laughed and dragged me away from Julie. She shouted after me.
Don't give up, Owen. Don't give up!
I felt the cold snow drifting over my legs as the vampire pulled me along. I began to feel a humming in the air. It was the artifact. I had never been so physically close before. It was a tangible thing, the power. It called to me. We stopped. I could no longer hear Julie.
I've waited so long for this, the vampire said with obvious pride. I ended my mortal life in shame when the ceremony failed last time. Little did I realize the blessings I would receive for my dedication, the opportunity to live and serve once more. I took great pleasure in cutting the heart out of your Juden friend, and I will greatly enjoy seeing Lord Machado take yours. Such a remarkable time indeed. Look upon your end, Hunter, the vampire crowed.
Can't see, dumbass, I croaked.
That just won't do.
I felt something cold and wet drag across my eyes, moistening the blood. Then Jaeger brutally cracked my eyelids open with his long thumbnails.
Your blood is delicious. I will feast on your corpse once the ritual has been completed. I need to regain my strength. I will admit you put up a good fight. You should be commended. It even hurt to blink. I was able to see again, out of one eye at least. My right eye must have been blinded, put out in the beating. We stood at the base of a small pyramidal structure. Snow was thick in every direction, coating what appeared to be an alpine forest. The entire world seemed to be small. The horizon visibly lifted only a short distance away, as if we were in a small valley. And the sky seemed bowed. When I had first been tugged into the pocket dimension, I had fallen down what I had thought was a hill. Rather, it was just the curved boundary of this small place. It was almost as if we were the occupants of a snow globe. The ruins were in the center of the dimension, obviously the focal point. Jaeger dragged me up the stairs, my legs thumping up each stone step. I left a small trail of blood in the snow. I tried to move my arms. Nothing. They were too badly broken to do anything other than quiver and hurt. One of my legs responded a bit. I was still wearing my armor, but I could not tell if I still had any of my weapons. I had lost all of my firearms, but maybe I still had a grenade on me. If I could get the pin out of a frag, it might put a kink in their ceremony. From what I had seen, it might not work if they had to scrape up the sacrifice with a spatula.
My Lord Machado, I present the sacrifice.
Prepare him for his fate.
I was hoisted up and tossed violently onto the frozen block of stone. I lay on my back, looking up at the shallow gray sky. Jaeger broke the buckles on my armor and ripped through the Kevlar covering my chest. I heard a clatter as the vampire tossed aside the tool that he had used. I looked over. Bastard had used my own knife. My wrists were shackled and chained to the stone. Not that I could have done anything anyway. The cursed one stood hulking a few feet away. He was a massive, shambling thing. The helmet and armor had been polished to a mirror shine. The flowing robes were opulent red silks, but under them the flesh was a twisting mass of oily darkness. He just oozed evil. "You will fail," I said calmly. "Just like you failed 60 years ago."
"Not now, brave hunter, for this is the time."
His thoughts stabbed into my brain, causing mental pain equal to the physical. What had Mordecai said? He had told me to remember the things that he had shown me. I had to think of something. I tried to recall the hazy memories. I was grasping at straws. The old man surely couldn't have foreseen a way for me to get out of this. "You don't know how to finish the ceremony. Thrall killed your priestess. You don't know what to do. He'll fail again." The black thing shook, trembling beneath his robes, bubbles rising through the space that should have been his face, spattering congealed fluids onto the snow. He was laughing at me. I had amused him.
"But in this place, my love returns to me tonight."
The helmet dipped, nodding toward Jaeger. The vampire bowed, always subservient, and placed a rolled-up bundle of cloth on the ground at the base of the altar. The vampire untied the rope that encircled the package and unrolled it on the snow.
It was a skeleton. An ancient, dried and brittle heap of broken bones, still chipped from where an axe blade had been used to peel the flesh away to ease Lord Machado's burden.
"Krinha,"
I gasped.
"No freaking way."
"Do not taint her name with your foul mortal lips. In this place, with my power, with the artifact of Kumaresh Yar, she shall return to me."
The artifact was removed from under his robes, coated in black goo. He kept it inside his body for safekeeping. As it was revealed, a jolt of power surged through the pocket dimension. I felt it down to the core of my being. I had seen the artifact in my visions. When I had died in Natchi Bottom, I had touched it with my spirit. It had shown me things, things which no human should have seen. It was not of this world. It did not belong here, in our time, in our space, in our plane. It was a token of the evil of the others, the old ones, the forgotten trespassers. The artifact called to me. The cursed one gently set the box down amongst the bones. The pyramid began to shake. The stone beneath started to radiate heat. Water formed as the edges of the snow started to recede, revealing the structure's construction. Within seconds, rivulets of water were running off, snow swept away. The pyramid was not made of stone at all, but blocks of organic ivory. Each stone was larger than a man, carved from the tusks or horns of some impossibly ancient thing. Truly, this was the place of power. The bones started to shake by themselves. One by one, they rotated and moved, pulling into position, organizing the bits from chaos, taking form. The skull rolled a few times, righting itself as individual vertebrae formed a chain beneath. The jaw opened and closed. The finger bones curled together, clenched spasmodically, and scratched tears in the fabric of the ancient cloth.
"And the knee bones connected to the leg bone, and the leg bones connected to the hip bone,"
I sang stupidly. Jaeger cracked me alongside my face for interrupting their sacred moment. The skeleton was whole, lying on its back, twitching and rattling. Everything in place, but without ligament or tissue to hold it together. The cursed one glided until he stood over the skeleton.
"My beloved, I give to you of myself. Surely my love will satisfy the prophecy of your masters."
His back was toward me. Almost gingerly, the withering base of tentacles covered the bones. The red cloak was flared wide, covering them as the cursed one slowly lowered his form to the floor. The cloak settled, congealing the huge lump of oily tissue. There was a horrible squelching noise, like a plunger dislodging a clog. There was a heavy smell of sulfur. The vampire looked on in rapture. The winter air hummed with the power of the artifact. Finally, the shape was still. Man, what I would have given right about then for the use of my arms and 100 pounds of C4. Two separate shapes moved under the robe. Jaeger fell to his knees and prostrated himself on the floor, crying out to his master in joy. The cursed one rose. He did not seem as massive as before. The red cloak was loose, and he was now not much larger than a man. One tentacle reached downward, almost gently, to be offered to another thing. It sat up from the puddle of gore, one arm extended. The tentacle encircled it and pulled upwards. The priestess had returned. She stood shakily, wobbling slightly, not used to having a physical form. The bones had been coated in the black ichor of the cursed one, flesh, tendon, and organs replaced by the unnatural mass. She was a human female in shape and structure, but not in texture or material. I could even almost recognize her from the visions. The memory of her flesh had been so perfectly replaced. The cloth that had held her bones stuck to her back, splattered and stained. She tore it away with one hand, then, realizing what she had done, brought the hand up in front of her face, slowly opening and closing the fingers, turning it at the wrist to examine herself. Her eyes were crimson pits. She ran her hands over her body, the gelatinous mass twitching and moving. The cursed one encircled her in a horrible embrace, their faces melding together in what had to be their version of an impassioned reunion. Tentacles withered and slapped wetly against the ground, splattering me with oily droplets. He pulled away, her arms leaving black stains on his robe, his armor no longer gleaming, but now coated in slime. She stroked her fingers through the front of his face, his tissues parting as she touched the teeth of his yellow skull. The dead flirt ugly.
"My priestess, I have done as you asked. I have crossed the impossible gap to return you to this world."
Surprisingly, the priestess spoke aloud. Her voice was horrific, bubbling up from the fluid-filled sacs, sounding like pouring tar.
"My lord, you have done the impossible. Truly the prophecy has been fulfilled."
The conquistador helmet dipped toward Jaeger. The vampire moved in a blur and appeared before its lord, presenting the ancient battle axe. The monster took it, wrapping it tightly in its tentacles, and glided closer to me. The artifact was placed on the altar near my head. This was the closest I had been to the device, and I could hear it whispering. Deep inside, I could sense the trapped souls, the old man, and hundreds, no, thousands of other trapped sacrifices. A sound came from the priestess, a horrible noise. It turned into a gurgling chant. The words were familiar, and I recognized them from the memory. The concave hills began to quake, and the curved sky began to shimmer. The moon was fat and bright overhead. The device rose until it was floating above the altar. It began to slowly rotate. Ancient runes could now be seen on the simple stone as they took on a black light of their own, detaching and floating in air. They formed a sphere of energy that began to grow, approaching my head. I could feel the electricity licking my scalp as the priestess continued her chant. The words made my remaining ear burn, and it felt like somebody was pushing an ice pick into my skull and twisting it.
"Machado, they're using you. You're just a pawn. The old ones are just waiting for you to open the path," I shouted.
His crimson eyes looked down upon me, but he ignored my feeble attempts to prevent my death. Corinna Ha stuttered briefly in her chant, but continued.
"They're going to come through and take over."
The cursed one readied himself. The blade was lifted, held awkwardly in the tentacles. I screamed in pain as the black energy of the artifact crackled over my skull.
Now remember things you have seen. Remember things I have shown you. It's up to you. Many things which I could not tell, I have shown you. Remember them, and all will be fine.
The words of the old man. I focused on them, trying to blot out the pain, the visions, the flashing, cruel energy, the upraised blade.
Yet every 500 years a man will be born, a mortal with the power to use this device and bend it to his will. You are this man. You are the one who has been prophesied by the old ones.
The words of Corinna. In the vision she had looked into Lord Mashado's eyes as she had spoken. But had she been speaking to him? Or was it a message from me 500 years later? The thought disappeared as a black whip of energy racked across my body.
Control of time, space, energy, matter, that kind of thing. Anybody who tries to use it dies, unless you are one of the special people.
Albert Lee had spoken about some of the things in the old man's journal. But I had used the artifact. I had unleashed a tiny bit of its power in Natchi Bottom. I had destroyed the flow of time, taken 5 minutes of history, and made it as if it had never existed. And though I had been dead at the time, I had lived.
Thou knowest naught of thy fate, of thy place in this world?
The question from the tattooed man, Thrall. What was my place? Why was I special? Why had he vowed to kill me? The memory of Lord Mashado, enraged, dying, body racked by wound and fever, attacking the black obelisk, destroying the lines of the prophecy with his fearsome axe, each glowing line appearing, only to be swept away in a crash of axe blade against obsidian. He will come. Son of a great warrior. A Hungamia Pit. The Green Beret legend. To his children he was just a normal man. A stern and distant father. Yet a display case over the family hearth held his Congressional Medal of Honor. Taught him the skills of the world. The very first time I had met Julie, she had read from my file.
Top of your class. Passed the CPA exam the first time.
I was an accountant. A man of numbers and spreadsheets. Facts and figures. Audits and accruals. Yet drawn to the sword. But I was far more comfortable with a gun in my hand than a calculator. I would rather be in a brutal full-contact fight than fill out a 1040. The glowing line of the prophecy exploded as the axe hammered home. His very name taken from the weapon of his fathers. Owen. An obsolete piece of Australian scrap. A cheap, stamped sheet metal 9mm bullet hose. But it had kept my father alive while he had stayed one step ahead of the communist patrols. Given a quest by the Crown. To defeat an impossible foe. The Elf Queen had spoken to me.
Dreamer, one last thing. Y'all got a mission. Don't screw up, or we all get dead. This here is serious, and I ain't just funning you. As Queen of the Enchanted Forest, I order y'all not to fail. Kill the bad un, or it's all over.
I had accepted her quest. It was my quest to stop the cursed one that had landed me half dead on this altar. Possessor of visions. My brave friend Trip, now probably dead.
You talk with ghosts. You see visions. You even managed to turn back the clock. Explain that if it isn't a miracle.
Leader of men.
Earl Harbinger smoking, trying to hide a slight smile, confident in his wisdom as the most experienced monster hunter in the world.
I've got three newbies that seem to think you're their leader. Trip, Holly, and Albert would follow you anywhere. Whether you know it or not, you're a leader. That's good enough for me.
Ally of dark forces. The Wendigo loomed in my mind, billowing skins under an antlered skull. Special Agent Frank, still in mud-covered armor, snapping his hand to his forehead in a salute of honor. Friend of monsters. Skippy and his tribe dancing and rejoicing. A mighty werewolf tearing with fang and claw as he battled the undead. The line of text shattered in the darkness. I knew now. The artifact spun, shrieking, casting off insane energies, piercing screams inside my head from the trapped souls within its prison. It was not just a key. It was a manifestation of all that was bad. It had been forged by a being of unnatural law, placed here as a tool of invasion, held in place, waiting for that one mortal with the will to use it. The old ones were patient. They were smart. They had steered their pawns into place, taking thousands of years and generations of human toil to bring this meeting about. It recognized me. It welcomed me. It called out to me. I called back. The priestess shrieked out an alien command. I was fully engulfed now in the whipping black energy. Lord Machado swung the weapon. The axe blade descended, screaming down toward my unprotected chest. No. Time jerked spasmodically. There was a thunderous explosion, and the axe was blasted spinning into the air. The cursed one was flung across the top of the pyramid, slamming wetly against the ivory blocks. I was in control now. I felt the power of the old ones coursing through my body. I could move again. Strength surged through my limbs. With one tug, the chains binding my wrists were shattered. I rose, forcing my way through the walls of black energy. A taste for violence in my mouth. I had been pushed too far, and now I was pushing back. The master vampire screamed in rage. Somehow I had harmed his lord, and now he descended on me in his full wrath. Jaeger twisted into his killing form, surging toward me at hundreds of feet per second. Claws descended in a flash of speed sufficient to turn rock into powder. I blocked the claw, smashing the hardened bones of his arm into splinters. The vampire halted in shock. I wrapped my hands around his neck, spun him around, and shoved him into the altar. Cracks rippled across the structure as I forced him down. He hit me like a freight train, hammering me with unbelievable force. I tried to tear him apart, but he was the strongest of all vampires. I could not destroy him. There was a presence. I could sense it coming from the artifact. One of the prisoners desperately calling my name. I stuck one hand back into the energy and felt something heavy and solid land in my palm. It was Mordecai's cane. I roared as I slammed it through Jaeger's chest. It served as a mighty stake, piercing the black heart. He screamed in impossible pain as the cane began to burn in blue fire. For 6 decades, this thing had reigned nearly supreme in his world of undeath. Cursed with powers beyond comprehension, yet bound in servitude to another. Before that, he had been just as evil,
just as brutal. Only in human form he had been a mere cog in the machine of death that had been his calling. He was a murderer, a tyrant, a king of evil. We stood face to face as the vampire tried to pull me into the conflagration. I slammed him back into the altar again and again, gaining in strength and velocity. I crushed his form into the ivory, pulverizing it into bits. He tried to crawl away, withering and burning. The flames of the cane would not allow him to change form. There was no escape. I snatched up my Gangaram, lifted the mighty weapon, and brought it down on the vampire's neck. The heavy blade struck true, and driven by my new strength, the hardened spine shattered on impact. His head landed at my feet. Black lifeblood streamed down the pyramid. His eyes looked up at me in confusion as his mouth tried to form words. I kicked his head into the woods. The energy release from the artifact was growing in intensity, far greater now than it had been during my vision. I walked through it, unfazed by the lightning. Stepping over the smoldering body of the vampire, I headed toward the cursed one. The artifact lifted into the air, higher and higher, until it was suspended at the midpoint of the tiny little world. The roar of the unleashed power was deafening. The winds picked up the snowfall and spun it like we were in a blizzard.
"Machado!"
I roared. I was whole again. I could hear. I could see. I could move.
"Machado! Face me!"
I tore off the remaining scraps of my armor and threw them aside. I strode toward the fallen form of the cursed one. It ended now.
"Boy, wait! You must stop!"
Freed from the bondage of the cursed one, his murderer destroyed, the old man reached out for me, trying to help. I ignored him. I was filled with rage. Lord Machado had attacked me again and again. He had threatened my loved ones. He had threatened my world. He had tried to take our lives. My blood thundered, and I demanded vengeance. His death was inevitable. I demanded it. The energy grew in power relative to my anger. It spun high above, now a solid globe of black, so thick and great that the trees were bending, breaking, and being sucked upwards. I walked through the fury.
"Stop! They use you! Use you like pawn!"
Lord Machado appeared out of the whirling snow. He bombarded me with his power. Telekinetic forces striking against me, trying to invade my body, rupture blood vessels in my brain, clamp down the valves of my heart, or pop my lungs like a balloon. He had the power to kill with his very mind. Nothing. His powers could not touch me. He belonged to me now. I lost control, washed away in a river of fury.
"Die!"
I shouted as I slashed my blade through his neck, spraying oil high. He lashed out with a tentacle. It struck me like a whip, burning me. I swung as it withdrew, taking the end off and leaving a trail of black. He encircled me, whipping and tearing, trying to ensnare me. I snarled and cursed, swinging the heavy blade, chopping through the flesh of the old ones. The armored bulk crashed into me, knocking me backwards. A tentacle lashed around my wrist and yanked my blade away as I fell. I landed next to something. Lord Machado's axe. It was embedded in the ivory. Surging to my feet, I dodged as tentacles crashed into the ground and wrenched the blade free. The polished wood felt natural in my hands, as if it belonged there.